worldwide rallies are underway in solidarity with the people of Gaza and the condemnation of Israel's onslaught on the besieged territory. Well, welcome to the studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us.
Israel's war on the Gaza Strip enters its 23rd day. Israel is pounding the besieged territory from ground, sea, and air as fighting is underway between resistance groups and regime forces. Israel has confirmed that its ground troops are fighting inside of Gaza. It says infantry, armored engineering, and artillery forces are participating in the attacks on Gaza, accompanied by heavy air fire. The Palestinian resistance group Hamas says its fighters are confronting Israeli troops in various locations. The group says it is fully prepared to confront Israeli ground forces. It has fired dozens of rockets and missiles to areas across the occupied territories, including the city of Tel Aviv. Meanwhile, Israel continues to launch deadly airstrikes on Gaza. Palestinians say that in the past day, the besieged territory has witnessed the heaviest bombardment since the war began.
It's as if an earthquake has shaken the entire area. This was the most intense bombardment the world has ever witnessed. We're just civilians, children, women, and unarmed people sleeping peacefully. Everything has been destroyed. Houses have crumbled over the heads of the residents, including children. No one is paying us any attention. This is a policy of human execution. If it were a natural earthquake, it would have been much easier than what happened last night. There were random bombardments from all directions, from the ground, sea, and air. They were all bombarding us last night. Who are they bombarding? Civilians? Including women and children who were peacefully sleeping in their homes in the dead of night?
Parents across Gaza have been writing their children's names on their bodies so that they can be identified after Israeli air attacks. The Gaza Health Ministry says the heavy Israeli bombardment has turned Gaza into a ball of fire. It says Israel's actions have caused complete paralysis of the health system, medical teams, and ambulances. International media and aid agencies say that they have lost contact with staff in Gaza amid a near-total communications blackout. More than 8,000 Palestinians have so far been killed in Israel's relentless bombardment of Gaza that began on October the 7th. 70% of the casualties are women, children, and the elderly. The Palestinian journalist based in Gaza has offered a horrific account of the plight of Gazans and their struggles to access the most basic necessities of life. The journalist lamented the inaction of the international community and its passiveness in the face of flagrant Israeli violations.
Every day I tell myself what's happening now is the worst. What would be a worse outcome than bombing hospitals, churches, mosques, children, women, ambulances, journalists, and their homes? What else could be targeted? That's too much for me to handle. We are now in the third week of the war, and all services have been disrupted. Even if you are dying, you cannot call the ambulance. I'm supposed to report what's happening since I'm here in Gaza, but how can I do that with no internet or fuel to drive my car and no electricity? Everything has been cut off. I can't understand the stage that I've reached or that there is a country grappling with this dire situation while the whole world and the Arab leaders are just watching and international law or anything else is disregarded. For 3 weeks, we have been literally dying and have been struggling to broadcast and cover events, yet everything remained unchanged. I'm not sure if I can upload this video or have internet access to do so. Now everything is pointless. Could you imagine that we can now be happy when we know someone is dead as one piece? Or we even tell each other, you should thank God that your house was shelled and nothing else happened. Or you should thank God that our livelihood has been destroyed and nothing more significant occurred. I do not know what world we live in.
The military wing of Hamas, resistance movement Al-Qassam Brigades, warns that Palestinian fighters are ready to confront the Israeli army as the regime goes ahead with its ground invasion of Gaza. The Al-Qassam Brigade spokesman Abu Ubaida called on all Muslim and Arab nations to join the fight against Israel. He said the collapse of the Tel Aviv regime has already begun. Abu Ubaida said an enemy who vents his anger on innocent people will gain nothing but disgrace. Regarding the issue of captives held by Palestinian resistance movement, it says the group is ready to conduct an immediate prisoner exchange deal that includes the release of all Palestinian prisoners from Israeli jails. Meanwhile, Hamas has called for an immediate implementation of the UN General Assembly resolution to allow humanitarian relief into the besieged Gaza Strip.
We call on the international community, especially Arab and Islamic countries, for the immediate and urgent implementation of the UN General Assembly decision to send in fuel, humanitarian items, and medical supplies to civilians.
The Hamas official said the resistance movement demands that aid piled up on the Egyptian side of the border be quickly sent and distributed to all areas and hospitals inside of Gaza. He stressed that Israel's targeting of areas around the hospitals, which shelter tens of thousands of Palestinians, amounts to terrorism. The UN General Assembly on Friday overwhelmingly called for an immediate humanitarian truce in the Gaza Strip. The world body demanded aid access to the besieged territory and the protection of civilians. The resolution, drafted by Arab countries, is not binding, but carries political weight. The Palestinian president says people in Gaza are facing a war of genocide as Israel continues its total blockade of the coastal territory.
Our people in the Gaza Strip are facing a war of genocide and massacres committed by the Israeli occupation forces in full view of the entire world.
Abbas also called on the Arab countries to hold an emergency summit to stop the brutal aggression against Gaza. He said Israel's goal is to expel Palestinian people from the coastal strip, adding that this must be prevented by any means possible. The Palestinian president hailed the UN General Assembly resolution on Friday, which overwhelmingly approved the resolution that called for a humanitarian truce in the Gaza Strip. Pro-Palestinian rallies have been held across the world to demand an end to the Israeli bloodshed in Gaza amid the regime's brutal aggression against the besieged territory.
For a ceasefire. This has been going on for 75 years now. It's time for Israel to stop oppressing the Palestinian people. You've seen the deaths. The death toll has risen. What are we? Nearly at 8,000 people now. Most of the civilians there are children and minors. The Western government is doing absolutely nothing. You know, these superpowers at play are not doing enough at the moment. This is why we're here.
In London, tens of thousands marched through the streets of the capital to call for a stop to the Israeli carnage. They waved Palestinian flags in a show of solidarity with the people of Gaza. In Istanbul, hundreds of thousands held protest rallies to condemn the regime's onslaught. They also urged President Recep Tayyip Erdogan to cut off diplomatic relations with the Israeli regime. Several other cities, including the French capital Paris, the Swedish capital Stockholm, and the Malaysian capital Kuala Lumpur, the Iraqi capital Baghdad, and cities across the occupied West Bank were the scene of similar protests.
A fiery protest in front of the White House as gunfire and explosions intensify over Gaza.
Biden, Biden, you can't hide!
It has become almost routine since 3 weeks ago, people gathering to condemn the U.S. and Israel over their roles in the grim conditions of Palestinians.
Gazan officials are saying that nearly half of all residences in Gaza have been left uninhabited, are destroyed, or at the very least damaged since bombing began there. There's also the worsening humanitarian crisis, as many Gazans are in dire need of international humanitarian aid. Officials say that any aid that has managed to reach Gaza has severely fallen short of what's needed there. Many hospitals have already closed. Those that are open are running over capacity. Food, water, fuel are at severely low levels.
Gazan deaths are climbing at an incredible rate amid continued Israeli bombardment. Protesters say the bombing over Gaza is constant. They're urging for a ceasefire.
Israel, actually the Zionist entity, has cut off, food, water, electricity, all the essentials that people need. There's 50,000 pregnant mothers in Palestine that need access to resources. There's children in Palestine that need access to resources. The Palestinian people just need access to resources, and a ceasefire would allow that, to happen.
Fears grow that increased fighting will further trap Gazan families and loved ones in an inescapable tragedy. Colin Campbell, Washington.
For the third Saturday in a row, pro-Palestine demonstrators packing the streets of central London. to condemn the UK government's unequivocal support for Israel.
From Madrid to Milan and beyond, even in Germany, home to one of the largest Muslim communities in the EU, where such protests have been restricted over what was described as anti-Semitism concerns.
Despite government attempts to delegitimize it, support for Palestinians is on the rise, with hundreds of thousands of people taking to the streets of central London today to raise awareness of what's happening in Gaza and to express solidarity with the Palestinians.
Public pressure seems to be working. London's Labour mayor has become the latest politician to call for a ceasefire, breaking ranks with his party's leader, Keir Starmer, who said Israel reserved the right to cut all supplies to Gaza. 250 high-ranking lawyers have written an open letter to the government urging it to stop arming Israel. As the war on Gaza rages on, there is no sign of the emotions letting up, or the demands that so many here are making for their leaders to find a political solution to the crisis. Saeed Porizza, London.
UN Human Rights Chief Volker Turk says that there is the potential for thousands more civilians to die if Israel presses ahead with its attacks.
Thousands have already died, many of them children. Given the manner in which military operations have been conducted, until now, in the context of the 56-year-old occupation, I am raising alarm about the possibly catastrophic consequences of large-scale ground operations in Gaza and the potential for thousands more civilians to die.
Volker Turk said Friday night and Saturday's bombardment of the Gaza Strip took the crisis to a new level. He said the bombing of the telecommunication infrastructure places the civilian population in grave danger. European Union's top diplomat Josep Borrell says far too many civilians, including children, have been killed in Gaza, noting that such attacks are against international law. Meanwhile, Russia has warned that Israel's bombardment of Gaza risks creating a catastrophe that could last for decades.
If Gaza is destroyed and 2 million residents are driven out of there, this will create a catastrophe for many decades, if not centuries. Of course, we need to stop and announce humanitarian programs to save the population caught in the siege. There is no water, no electricity, no food, no heat. There is nothing there.
Lavrov said Israel's attacks on Palestine run counter to international law. Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi has called for international support, especially from Muslim countries, for Palestinian people. He said Gaza needs help more than ever in order to stop relentless crimes and genocide committed by the Israeli regime's war machine. Saudi Arabia's foreign ministry has issued a statement condemning Israeli ground operation, calling it unjustified and a blatant violation of international law. The Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has condemned Israel as an occupier. He says the main culprit behind the massacre unfolding in Gaza is the West. Erdogan called Netanyahu a terrorist and said that his country is making preparations to proclaim Israel a war criminal. Following the remarks, Israel recalled its diplomatic representatives from Turkey. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah says it has hit at least 5 Israeli military targets. In a statement, Hezbollah said it struck the targets with precision-guided missiles and artillery shells. The movement added some technical capabilities of the Israeli facilities were destroyed. This came after Israel carried out attacks on southern Lebanon. The area has witnessed exchanges of fire since October 8th, one day after a major Palestinian operation against Israel. There have been several casualties on both sides. We're going to go now and speak with Mariam Saleh, a correspondent who joins us from South Lebanon, to get the latest on her front. Mariam, what do you have for us?
Well, it was a quiet morning, sort of. We were driving through several kilometers, around 13 kilometers, from the town of Adaisi until the town of Ain Ibil, where we are standing right now. All along the way, it was kind of quiet. We just heard right now sounds of fire exchange, and it seems that Hezbollah, or the resistance, has targeted more devices for the Israelis in one of their posts, in the Abad post, and in it. As a result, the Israelis, of course, shelled the outskirts of the village and the town of Adaisi. Of course, in this town here, in Ain Ibil specifically, this is where one of the places where you can see is vast open territory where the Israelis have used to basically vent their anger and throw their bombs into these areas since they are not all inhabited. Now, in the face, there is the, I think we could probably get an idea. There's a lot of fog, of course. The weather would be difficult for us to be able to get a clear picture of the Israeli post, but that is the Al-Sadah post. That is one of the posts that was hit by the resistance several times, actually, and it is considered one of the most strategic points for the Israelis where they can get a better look at the rest of Lebanese territory. However, Hezbollah has made sure to basically target their espionage devices and their surveillance towers, in addition to the radio towers that are used to intercept the telecoms inside Lebanon. And so, therefore, up until now we only have some skirmishes, like we said, near the village of Odaisi. But other than that, we are, of course, taking a look at what's happening. Definitely throughout the time, we always hear the surveillance planes, sometimes fighter jets, but mostly we're hearing the surveillance planes, the MK UAVs, and those are used basically to not only for surveillance purposes and for reconnaissance, they're also used to hit targets as well in Lebanon. We know that some of the houses were hit using those drones, or actually the bigger drones. They're not the small ones. Those are the UAVs. They're much bigger than that. The Israelis use them constantly here in Lebanon. Even before the time of the war, they had always been hovering over the skies in South Lebanon especially, and now we probably hear them over our heads.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moment with IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Welcome to Listener Special on this Sunday, 29th of October, 2023. I'm Mehran Darakhshande, standing in for my colleague, Atefeh Irfani. Listener Special is the Sunday program where your views matter most. Contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, Listener Special is your program. It's your views that are most important. Okay, as usual, we have received lots of letters from our listeners from around the world, lots of letters and emails. We have received letters and emails from Najimuddin from Bangladesh, Bernard Grondin from Reunion Island, Rob de Boer from the Netherlands, also Wu Xiaonan from China, Pratima Bhakat from India, and many more. Stay with us for more of your emails and letters. Okay, and we start off your emails and letters by a very nice letter we've received from Najimuddin from Bangladesh. Najimuddin is one of our listeners. He says, "Dear friends, Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for your updated information regarding the recent events in the Gaza Strip and the brutal Israeli airstrikes on this enclave. News and news highlight programs is always my favorite. Your Sunday program, Listener Special, is also another one of my favorites." And Najimuddin from Bangladesh says, "Kindly send me your new program and frequency schedule, printed QSL card with Arabi souvenirs." Well, Najimuddin from Bangladesh will send you an electronic QSL card, eQSL card, and will send you our schedule and our new program and schedule electronically as well, as you've asked for. Also, Najimuddin from Bangladesh says, "Please send me a book on the life of the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the late Imam Khomeini. May God bless his soul." Well, Najimuddin, I've discussed your request with my colleagues, and if it's possible, I will send you a book about the life of the late Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, as you've asked for. We'll discuss that with our colleagues and see what we can do. And thank you very much to our loyal listener, Najimuddin from Bangladesh. We'll be back with more of your emails and letters. Okay, we're back with more of your letters and emails. A nice email here from one of our listeners from the Netherlands. It's Rob de Boer. Rob den Boer. It says, "Dear sir, to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran English service, it's my pleasure to confirm your broadcast, and I hope my reception report is correct. My name is Rob de Boer, and I live in the Netherlands. Please listen to my audio recordings attached." Well, thanks very much, Rob de Boer. Yes, we acknowledge receiving your QSL report, and we'll certainly listen to your recordings, and we'll send you an electronic QSL card. Thanks very much to Rob de Boer from the Netherlands, and keep in touch. And another one of our listeners, it's Bernard Grondin from the Reunion Island. I think it's in the Indian Ocean. It's a French colony in the Indian Ocean. It's Bernard Grondin from Reunion Island, Reunion in Indian Ocean. He says, "I would like to receive your new program and frequency schedule on shortwave in English, French, and other languages. I live on Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean." Well, thanks much to Bernard Grondin from Reunion Island. Some of our listeners may not know exactly where Reunion is, but it's actually close to Madagascar. It's a small island close to the island of Madagascar off the coast of Africa in the Indian Ocean. And Bernard Grondin from Reunion Island will send you a program and frequency schedule electronically as you ask for. And keep on listening to our English and French broadcasts. Thanks very much indeed to Bernard Grondin from Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean. Right, we'll be back with more of your letters and emails. A nice email from one of our listeners in China. It's Wu Xiaonan. Wu Xiaonan from Shenzhen province in China. Wu Xiaonan says, "I'm a radio listener in Shenzhen, China. I hope you can issue me a radio listening certificate card, a QSL card, to prove that I've been listening to your station. I hope your station provides listeners with QSL cards, schedule, flag, etc. Well, Wu Xionan from China, thanks very much for sending us your nice letter and information. We'll send you an electronic QSL card, as you've asked for, as well as a program schedule that you've asked for electronically. Thanks very much and keep in touch. Wu Xionan from China, thanks very much indeed. And moving on to another one of our listeners from India. It's Pratima Bhakat. Pratima Bhakat from India. It says, Dear IRB friends, my name is Pratima Bhakat from the Foreign Radio Listeners Club based in India. We would appreciate if you can send us your current printed schedules, some souvenirs, stamps, and small gifts as possible. Well, to Pratima Bhakat and all members of the Foreign Radio Listeners Club in India, all of you, a very warm greeting from IRIB here in Tehran, Iran. We'll send you electronically what you've asked for. You've asked for program schedules, some souvenirs and small gifts. We'll send these to you electronically. Thanks very much to our listener, Pratima Bhakat, and all members of the Foreign Radio Listeners Club in India. It's time for a short break. We'll be back. Okay, we're back, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These are very useful to us, particularly to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us to provide a better service to all of our listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card from us. And we have, this week, we have received reception reports from Bernard Grondin from Reunion Island, near Madagascar in the Indian Ocean, Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean. We've also received reception reports from M.S. Srinivasa Raju from India, and also from Muhammad Brayel from Malaysia. Muhammad Brayel from Malaysia, M.S. Srinivasa Raju from India, and Bernard Godin from Reunion. All of you will be receiving an electronic QSL card from us, and thanks very much indeed for sending us these reception reports. Well, we have come to the end of our program this week. On behalf of myself, Mehran Darakhshande, and all of the team here in Tehran, Iran, I bid you farewell. Take care and God bless.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Jewish prisoners had their arms tattooed by the Nazis in the 1940s so they could be identified. In Gaza, 2023, parents write on their own kids' legs so they can be identified in case they are killed by the Zionists. The parents say that at least the kids can be buried in marked graves as opposed to unmarked ones. They write their names to let the world know who they were and for their kids not to be just a statistic. They're human beings with stories, with families and dreams that may never be attained. Bombs are dropping on their heads. Phosphorus and other incendiary bombs are being used by the Israeli regime, which have killed more than 7,700 people so far, with over 3,000 of them being kids. Doctors say the majority of those killed also had second or third degree burns. We're going to take a look at the latest, the situation in Gaza on this spotlight. I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. Vanessa Beely, writer and activist out of Damascus. And Saab Chath, author and West Asia expert out of Belfast.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Well, thank you both for being with me. Start this off in Damascus. And Vanessa, the definition of a Holocaust is a very large amount of destruction with the killing of a large number of people, especially when fire heat is involved. Would you say that's what's happening right now would be classified as a Holocaust?
Absolutely. And what's happening now is nothing more than a continuation of what happened in 1948. The Nakba of 1948, the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians, has never actually stopped. People talked about scenes of Palestinians being evacuated from the north of Gaza to the south of Gaza, and then having their convoys bombed by the Israeli warplanes as they were fleeing to what were supposed to be safe areas. You know, we've seen 75 years of oppressive persecution of Palestinians. The inability for Palestinians that were driven out of their lands and dispossessed of their homes in 1948 to return to their land and to their homes. Now we're seeing an extermination, I call it the Hiroshima Doctrine. There is more explosives dropped on Gaza in the last 20 days than in the atomic bombing by the United States of Hiroshima. You know, what we're seeing now is genocide, it's extermination of entire people, not only in Gaza, but also in the West Bank and in the occupied territories, mm-hmm. where mass arrests and executions are being carried out with impunity. And nothing is being said by Western regimes that, of course, since the Balfour Declaration, have pledged their allegiance to the Zionist entity.
Well, Saab, it's not a sign of military prowess just to fly planes or drones and drop bombs on a civilian population. It doesn't take military strategy to kill civilians. So What is the goal here of the Israeli regime in killing and torturing so many civilians in Gaza for 3 weeks now?
The Israeli regime have no goal except revenge and acting as somebody who want to show they are immune from the international law and they can commit genocide, ethnic cleansing, in a massive scale, with and nobody can bring them to account, since the United States of America is covering them from the international community, if there is an international community. So the Zionist entity bringing what happened on the 7th of October, a liberation commandos from Palestinian National Liberation Movement trying to push occupation from their land. They want to the West and the world to think of this as a second Holocaust happened to them. I want to quote what once an Israeli prime minister, Golda Meir, she used to say, they really won't forgive the Arabs because the Arabs made the Zionist entity, the Israelis, kill the Arabs' kids. So under any circumstances, nobody allowed to be a victim except the Zionist entity and the Israelis. They are the only victims in here, and that's in their head. So they blame the whole international community now for killing the Palestinians in Gaza. That's what the logic they believe in, since it is another Holocaust. You want us to believe in the world in the West, this is another Holocaust, since the Americans giving them full support and the Western country shore them up and full support, and all what you're hearing in the media, Western media, when they even interview any of the victims, do you condemn Hamas? This is the only line that is in the Western media. Do you condemn Hamas? Do you condemn Hamas? They ask if they can wake up the dead body in Gaza, dead bodies. They will ask them this question to that much they are deaf and that much they are just doing what the Zionist entity propaganda, atrocity propaganda machine wants them to do. We are facing something unprecedented, the amount of shelling and destruction happening to Gaza, cutting the water, the fuel, the medicine, the whole thing, the kids dying in hospitals and incubators, hospitals collapse, international community watching that, people cannot find water. They ignoring the idea of death in Gaza and they're searching for water now. We are facing this, but saying that, till now they launched a massive incursion last night on Gaza and they got pushed back.
Okay, stay with me on that. I'm going to come back to you on that. But Vanessa, I mean, really what Saib is saying, and it's just, it's absolutely unbelievable and sickening what is going on. I mean, does the regime actually believe that it can totally empty Gaza by either sending people who are left to the Sinai or to the Jordan or to Jordan? I mean, isn't it overall a sign of the settler colonial entity's weakness that it's taking on the civilian population in the way it has?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, I compare always the Zionist entity to Al-Qaeda, which, of course, they supported in the destabilization campaign against Syria. Al-Qaeda would never engage with the Syrian Arab army on the ground. It would bomb civilians in the various cities where it had embedded itself in the suburbs. And the Zionist regime, the Zionist forces, the IOF, for example, they are not battle-hardened soldiers. They're used to beating up children on the streets of the occupied territories. So therefore, when it comes to a military operation on the ground, they are going to be heavily inflicted with injury and with death, because the Palestinian resistance factions are prepared. And you know, what's extraordinary, Saeb mentioned this playing victim I mean, Gideon Levy has spoken quite openly about this. It's the only occupying force in history that is an oppressive occupying settler state. It's not a state. It's a hit-and-run colonialist project that was established, first of all, by the British, and then picked up by the Americans, who used it as an instrument of their policy in the region, a military outpost, a proxy mercenary entity that has been used and weaponized against nations in the region that the U.S. has targeted for destabilization, partitioning, and destruction, and regime change. And when you look at the propaganda that people are talking about, the so-called Hamas, and, you know, again, this is not only about Hamas. This is about 17 resistance factions inside Gaza itself, multiple other resistance factions, some traditional and have been there for decades, some new that have been established, like the Lion's Den in Jenin. And when you look at what is actually the reality about the so-called Hamas atrocities, we're now seeing that 50% of the victims at the rave party that, by the way, was being held on the outskirts of the biggest concentration camp, open-air concentration camp in the world today,
right.
50% of the victims were members of the police forces, the security forces, and the IOF, that the Israeli forces were actually responsible for killing civilians in the crossfire. And 2 days after those civilians were taken hostage by Hamas and were being sheltered in buildings close to Gaza, the IOF shelled those buildings, killing their own people. That, you know, we know that the beheaded baby story was retracted almost immediately, even by the White House. We know that various other stories, like the rape stories and so on, were almost immediately retracted also. But we also know the Zionist media, the Zionist corporate media, is one of the strongest complexes in the world for misinformation. And so, therefore, those lies stick. And as Saeb said, what are people talking about? The Hamas atrocity 2 weeks ago. It's almost like the entire Holocaust that has happened since then against Palestinian civilians, more than 3,000 children
right.
dead, is completely denied. The West is actually becoming an anti-Semitic Holocaust-denying entity itself. Palestinians are Semites. What is happening now is a Holocaust, and they're denying it.
Indeed, indeed. Well, Saeb, back to the ground invasion that the Israeli regime attempted last night. Let's talk about that. I mean, what's going on here? Because we have this very well-equipped military that's supported by Western regimes, and yet we saw last night that they retreated.
This is amazing, you know, to see all the shura by three fighter jet carriers coming from United States of America, the latest in technologies and maritime or F-35s, fighter stealth jets, and all the ammunition came from the West. And all the visits from the prime ministers of the West, the British, the German, the Italian, the French president, Joe Biden before them, and sending the Marines as well, the expertise which the United States of America brag about, used in Fallujah or in North Iraq, in Mosul, in attacking the Iraqis, to put the experience and to lead the ground incursion in Gaza. All of that came to what last night? They managed with massive bombardment before that, a frightening, you know, never ever anybody heard of such a nasty bombardment like what happened last night
right.
in the Gaza Strip and the night before it, especially in Khan Yunis and then North Gaza. And suddenly Netanyahu comes in his press conference half an hour ago and say limited land incursion because his forces, which is amount to over 350,000 soldiers around the Gaza Strip, and my colleague right from Damascus, when she said they only trained to chase kids in the West Bank and torture the Palestinian people, in the West Bank, they couldn't face real resistance. They don't have the morality like the people who own the right, own the land, to push the occupiers. And those people who are with limited resources, under blockade for 17 years, not even toilet paper is not allowed to enter in Gaza, and they managed to manufacture an underground military system to push back the United States of America's latest technologies with the West and the Zionist entity. This is unbelievable. You know, right. This is massive victory in here they achieved. And I don't know, except killing the civilians, as my colleague in Damascus said as well, this is the Al-Qaeda tactic, terrorizing the civilians because they cannot fight a professional militaries like the Syrian militaries when they done in Syria or in Iraq when Daesh done that. The same thing, the creator of ISIS, the Zionist entity, and its Western backers cannot face freedom fighters in Gaza fighting occupation.
Right. Well, what about that, Vanessa? Because, I mean, basically, we see the Zionist military, and they're facing what they're facing in Gaza. I mean, how do they deal with the people who basically have nothing to lose, but everything to gain? I mean, how do you defeat that?
You don't. You know, this is where it's absolutely ridiculous when Netanyahu and the Zionist allies are talking about destroying Hamas. They don't understand the essence of Palestinian resistance. You don't destroy one element of it. Hamas, as I pointed out, is only one faction inside Gaza. The Qassam military wing is one of the strongest of the military wings of the resistance factions. But however, there are multiple others. And if you, for example, wipe out the leadership of Hamas, there will be other leaders to take their place, because you're talking about an entire people, an entire nation, an entire movement, an entire principle for which they fight. And they have the right to fight and to resist with every means possible under international law. This is forgotten about. You know, again, what does the Zionist entity do? It portrays itself as the victim. It's acting in self-defense. And the US, the UK, nations of the EU, France and Germany in particular, talk all the time about the Zionist entity's right to self-defense. What about the right to self-defense of Palestinians? What about their right to self-defense for the last 75 years?
Right.
But you know what? Also, what was extraordinary for me last night was the fact that Yemen, besieged, blockaded, destroyed, devastated Yemen since 2015, managed to fire missiles that actually landed in Eilat, in the occupied territories. Extraordinary. And what you're seeing on the streets of London, for example, hundreds of thousands of people, and what are they chanting? They're chanting one state. They understand the problem. They understand that until the Zionist entity is expelled from those territories and Jews and Muslims can live again in peace as they did before the Zionist movement began in the 1880s and the influx of European Jews started even back then, people understand. And the thing is, what the Zionist entity and what the US and the UK in particular don't seem to understand is that by allowing the Zionist entity to do what it's doing, to commit a genocide in full view of the world, it's losing all support. It's completely lost support in the global south. It's completely lost support, for example, in Latin America, but even among the people of the EU, UK, and US. Even the Jews in the US were out last night demonstrating, right, despite the brutality of the police. You know, so actually, whatever happens now, in my view, the Zionist entity has lost this war already.
Right. What about that, Saeb? Because we look at world opinion. turning against the Israeli regime as more and more people in countries around the world are protesting, and as Vanessa just said, and really getting it and realizing what this is all about. And as you had pointed out earlier, the Israelis, the Zionists, always want to portray themselves as the victims, but they really have not been successful this time around in the way that they wanted to. Your thoughts on that? Why is it that the Zionists have not been able to control the narrative as they usually do, and the importance of that in them losing the narrative?
To pinpoint that, it's the people in the West, they have a bad experience with the Americans and Tony Blair in Britain in 2003 when they were lying, Tony Blair lying to the parliament and telling them to Westminster the Iraqis having these rockets which can reach us with weapons of mass destruction reach the UK, in 45 minutes. And the same thing, the United States of America going to the Security Council. And there is, I forget his name, Colonel Powell, holding that thing, is saying, lying to the United Nations, to the world, that's the Iraqis having weapons of mass destruction. And after that, the result is 1.5 million Iraqi dead, pushing the cradle of civilization to the world, which is Babylon and that, back to the Stone Age still today. Looting the wealth of that country, destroying the Arab world, and the trying to destroy all West Asia at the same time. All of these lies, they made the people believe this media, which is run by Murdoch and the rest of them, is embedded with the West. It's part of the Western military force. It's not a neutral media. So they lost the trust in it. The BBC and the rest of them is mouthpieces to the elite who wants to rob the world from its resources and to dehumanize most of the world in the name of the civilized West and destroy it and loot it. But today, a lot of the people, they take their information from the social media. Before, Press TV used to be in Sky, and people, Sky Network in Europe, and different many countries in Europe or in US in Canada, and people can at least go there and take some of the truth, lie about, but they denied them that. People have to go to the internet to watch Press TV or to go to social media to see clips or live clips coming from Gaza. And the people start building the public opinion, and this galvanized behind the Palestinian cause. I seen today calls in a massive demonstration in Belfast I took part in, the slogans for to dismantle Zionism and apartheid state from Palestine, to create free Palestine from the river to the sea, which for everyone, the Muslim, the Christian, and the Jews. This is brilliant when the people in the streets start understand that. But on the other side, we have the elite, the Western elite who's backing up with its multinational companies, the Zionist entity, which is their first military base in the Middle East to protect the oil and gas and the transport. So the United States of America and the Western countries, EU and Britain behind it, guarantee their dominance in that region and their position globally. Okay. And this massive blow they received in Gaza, shaking that.
Well, Vanessa, I only have a minute left, but I mean, we're looking at this regime and how out of control it is, no respect for human lives, and using these illegal weapons against the civilian population. I want to look at the aspect of how dangerous this entity is for the world, because it also has nuclear weapons, and how responsible these Western regimes are in supplying both conventional and non-conventional weapons to this genocidal regime.
Yes, I mean, this is really, for me, the Israeli ambassador, for example, should be expelled from the UN immediately. The US and the UK, if they continue to participate in the genocide and the extermination of Palestinians that is being conducted by the Zionist entity with weapons and technology supplied to them by the West, then they should be perceived as aggressor nations violating international law and complicit in genocide and ethnic cleansing. And as such, of course, they should be held accountable under international law. What they're also rushing towards is to give, under international law, the right of nations that stand in solidarity with the resistance a right to react against them in self-defense. Exactly the same argument that the Zionist entity always uses. And of course, it's bombed Syria multiple times in the last few weeks. There are reports that there are threats against the life of President Assad by the Zionist entity. And if we reach this level of escalation of this conflict with the active alliance of the US and the UK, then we're heading for regional escalation.
All right. And on that note, I thank both of you for being with me. Vanessa Beely, writer and activist out of Damascus. Saib Shaf, author and West Asia expert out of Belfast. And thank you for being with us on another Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Goodbye.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs
الله هو ذا الرحمن الله هو ذا المنان لا إله إلا
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have Sheikh Karimi to answer today's questions. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh Karimi, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of tawassul. What is tawassul? Is this allowed in Islam? Is this only limited to Shia Islam? They do tawassul to the holy tomb of their infallible imams, or no? All the Shia denominations and Islamic denominations do that.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We believe that tawassul is rooted in the verses of the Quran and the narrations in both Shia and Sunni sources. So although Shia are famous for believing in tawassul, but the Quranic verses and the narrations in both Shia and Sunni scholars prove that it is an Islamic doctrine and teaching. And it is referring to resorting to some intermediaries. Allah says, وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ To resort to some intermediaries, to some great people, and even to some, for example, great objects, for example, to the Noble Book of Quran or the angels, to act as intermediaries between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as I mentioned, this is rooted in the Noble Book of Quran, but before referring to the verses, does it mean that we are not allowed to directly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our requests? Of course. I mean, each and every one of us is allowed to talk directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do it in the time of salat, prayer. And every time we can directly talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him for our requests. But at the same time, we are encouraged by the Quran, by the narrations, to also do tawassul, to refer to the Prophet and infallible Imams,
yes,
to act as intermediaries between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this can be done in two ways.